popping, ladies and gents? You are now listening to episode 16 of True to Size.
Oh, I like that.
No.
What is going on, family? My name is Alan Martinez, and I'm joined by my brothers, Lawrence Hopkins.
What?
Alvin Martinez. Beep, 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 beep. And Joel Hernandez. How's it going, guys? Today, this week felt slightly long.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just did.
Just because you didn't buy
anything.
Cool.
Good story.
Good one. Let's just start now. Today, it's going to be like a full episode of like This Week in Kicks.
This episode in Kicks.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Maybe that's what we'll call it.
Boom. This week, when they say the name of the movie in the movie,
whoa.
We go through the N7 collection. We go through a Footscape woven chukka. That's a fly knit thing. And then Virgil Abloh's Louis Vuitton sneaker.
The Jordan 3?
Yep.
Save it for later. Save it for later. And then we recall one of our episodes two episodes ago, and we were talking about a brand making some certain moves, and they're making massive moves.
Called it.
But first, to the fire round, this is from M.M. Rubella.
Hello.
Can't remember if he or she, I'm very sorry. They ask, what are your must cop sneaker features, i.e., gum sole, 3M, straps, glow in the dark, multicolored knits, etc. And then they go on to say, loving the podcast so far. Keep up the great work.
Yeah. Thanks, Mirabella.
I asked what their answer was, and they said, Boost, 3M, and gum soles, and Gore-Tex waterproofy shoes.
Gore-Tex waterproofy. Yeah.
That's cool.
Waterproofy.
What's, let's start with Alvin.
I mean, those aren't really a must for me to purchase a pair of sneakers. It'd be nice. I always liked gum soles.
Yeah. Let me swing it this way then. Like, so your favorite silhouette, you know how there's some colorways that are like kind of meh? What is that one detail that your favorite silhouette has that
makes it an auto cop?
That you look at
on
it and
any
you go,
shoe.
Damn, that has that.
I can think of a couple.
I got
things.
A cop.
Then it's a gum sole.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And a hit of 3M in the right place.
Yeah, I think that's. It doesn't have to be together. All of us. Yeah.
But like, if you have like, the for right example, 3M.
Trust.
You can have an all black shoe. I'd say, let's say an all black 97. But if you have that 3M hit like,
on the lines,
and a gum sole,
crazy,
and a
white midsole. That.
Yeah. No, I would keep black.
You keep it triple black gum sole, 3M lines.
Yeah. Lines.
ID that.
I think that's the only time I would do a triple black shoe, because usually I don't like an all black shoe down to the outsole.
It's like a sneaky all black shoe.
But with
shoe.
The gum, the gum is just like a cute little, sick little accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kuya Joel, what about you?
I don't know. It's more or less like a black and white kind of shoe for me. The gum sole is a bonus.
Yeah, but there's no detail. There's no certain details that if a shoe had it, you would be like, oh my God, I need those.
Probably different materials, like on with like, you know, croc print or like, you know, throw in some elephant, you know.
Nice leathers. Fuzzy
like
stuff.
Nice, supple leathers.
Yeah.
Like that butter.
Hairy things.
Not so much with the hairy things.
What about the bears?
The bears are nice, man.
Yeah,
the bears are nice,
the SB Dunk set pack.
Yeah.
Lawrence, how about you?
First of all, good question.
I know. I love this question. We could go through a whole episode about this question.
That person listed a bunch of things. So definitely multicolored knit. Like anything multicolored knit.
I knew that was
going
to be one on your list.
Glow in the dark is usually a banger for me. Galaxy print. And then,
of course.
And then anything usually catches my eye like crazy too. Like it doesn't really matter anymore what the is. It's just.
True.
Yeah.
As long as it's like true. But it also, I think for the whatthas, it has to be a good amalgamation of.
It has to be a real what the.
It has to be a yeah. what
the. Like an actual. Yeah.
Like it pulls from other colorways from.
Yeah. And not even just other colorways, other models is the best. Yeah. Yeah. Like I love the LeBron 11, what the LeBron 11, because like the different tongues. Yeah. Like one has a LeBron 8 and like a LeBron.
Oh, I hear else. You. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they actually take different pieces from different yeah. shoes and
like chop shop type of shit. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I'm going to throw you guys for a loop. My answer is going to be out the box. And it is the box. Sometimes the packaging, if you just throw some next shit on it, even if you just turned it inside out and put swoosh on the lid, true. Oh my yeah. goodness gracious. You have me and I want those yeah. shoes.
I feel like that's the comic book collector in you.
Yeah. The artwork? For sure. It's a variant. For sure. It could be the same interior.
Yeah.
But as soon as the outside artwork is changed a little bit.
Seven of the same comic, but different covers.
Super facts. Moving on to this week in kicks. Lawrence's pick. We'll start with his.
Yay.
This year's 2018 N7 collection.
Yeah. So every year Nike does the N7 stuff, which is their Aboriginal Day pack, basically. Every year it's pretty good. Like I can remember going all the way back to like the KD4.
Oh yeah.
KD4s.
Still have that pack upstairs.
Oh, you still have it? Yeah. I wish I still had them.
Still had them.
But yeah, they've been killing it for a long time. So this year's pack, the main like draws from it are definitely the women's Air Max 1.
Oh yeah.
Which is like a bleach denim look. Mm-hmm. And then the Kyrie 4, which is like a navy with a white bottom. I was actually reading, let me find it, about the print. So the collection's indigo print is inspired by an image of the sky reflecting onto water. It was so made nice. Through a method of natural dyeing, natural dyeing in which flowers were collected, mixed. Holy fuck, this is what Alan feels.
Trudy. Yes, I get to see it.
Mixed through a giant vat and produced onto a large piece of fabric. The image was then scanned in order for the color to be sublimated onto technical sportswear fabric. Crazy. I think that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole collection is really cool.
Citation Nike News.
News.nike.com. Yeah. But yeah, the pack just released today.
Today. Mm-hmm.
Thursday, if you're
National
listening to
National Aboriginal
this.
Day.
Yep. Happy National Aboriginal Day to everybody. Mm-hmm. Pack just dropped today at Sport Check.
That's the only place I could find it.
And usually it comes out at Nike outlets. So
yeah.
It's probably at the outlet, like some of it at least.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming it'll hit like the Nike stores, running stores at least, yeah. like all the running stuff.
Maybe.
Eventually.
Maybe.
But yeah, I'm a huge fan of that stuff.
Me
I
too.
Love the theme stuff. We've always talked about theme stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's our favorite. So yeah.
And like just the way Nike's showing support for this thing. Like if you guys want to read into N7, the initiative actually started years ago. Yeah, and it's a really good purpose and reason behind the collection. But I wanted to touch on I don't have a pick for this week in kicks, but I personally wanted to touch on Nike dropping the ball in Canada in terms of this stuff, like N7 and even Be True pack. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hardy Girl and I were talking about it, and one of her best friends was trying to rock a Be True t-shirt from this year's collection. That's not available in Canada, and mm-hmm. that's this weekend, Pride, mm-hmm. The Pride Parade. Mm-hmm. I find it very unfortunate because, like, Toronto, especially for Pride, is like a home base. I'm like, this is from my knowledge, from friends and like family. It's like it's a home base for lots of the action that happens, and it's super disappointing to see that. Canada and Toronto in general is not getting much love in terms of the Pride pack. Yeah, and then even this N7 stuff, we were trying to look for it earlier today. Lawrence and I were trying to do some research just see where you guys can cop it locally, and there was not really much to find.
It's tough to find.
Foot Action's website, Foot Locker's website, and I only found it in Sport Check. Not even .ca had it.
Sportcheck.ca?
No, I mean Nike.ca.
Oh, Nike.
Sorry,
.ca.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even Nike.ca had it.
Yeah, we only found it on Sportcheck.ca. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was Sherway Gardens.
Yep.
Sportcheck was the only like local. There was other Canadians, but like Sherway Gardens was the closest one. Mm-hmm. And then we haven't had a chance to check Nike outlets, but usually that's where it also ends up. Yeah. So.
No, the collection's sick.
It's been like that though.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Canada.
The allocation.
Yeah. It's getting better, mm-hmm. like a lot better.
No, but I noticed for Be True, especially last year and the years before that, was a lot better in terms of support from Nike allocating stuff to Canada.
Wasn't the Be True stuff also at outlets last year? That's where they released
they
it,
were,
right?
And they were heavy. Mm-hmm. They were heavy in the stores, full stock. Some of the kicks that arrived to outlets were like Canada only. Like the VaporMax, you know, that the navy blue upper with the rainbow outsole, that was Canada only for like a month or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, so maybe it's coming then. I don't know. Makes sense to have it in time for Pride.
Know. We will see.
Yeah.
But yeah, the coming back to the N7 collection, it's very dope. Inspired by like an American
lacrosse
player, Jeremy Thompson. He plays for a Canadian team though.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty lit. Moving on. Alvin's pick, the Nike Footscape Woven Chukka, the Flyknit joint.
Yeah.
Thoughts, so bro?
It's a revamp of the...
You love that silhouette in general, too.
The older silhouette.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love the like the mock toe, like, kind of... What's that? A moccasin kind of look it has.
Mm-hmm.
Shape.
And, like, the new shape that they made, it's like a sock. And they kind of took that away, like they turned it into
a chukka.
And it's like more sleek and stuff. But like the reason I loved the Footscape was because of that specific shape on the toe.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they're incorporating newer technology into it though. But I feel like they could have incorporated the Flyknit in with the OG,
the proper shape.
Oh,
OG shape.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
And like I mean, after like talking about the N7 stuff, like they have the regular Footscape for women.
Yeah.
And like,
is that part of this year's collection or last year's?
I don't know.
Can't remember. Because I remember going through there and Sportcheck actually still has last year's collection in it too. It's pretty sick. If it's on discount, I think it's from last year.
Yeah.
But still.
Either way.
Super dope.
That just the OG shape of the Footscape and how like the laces just go on an angle and like why
oh,
mess
I know
up
what a, you mean.
Like you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just why mess up a good thing?
Yeah. I don't know.
When you showed me that picture earlier in the week, like, here's the thing. I don't dislike the Flyknit edition.
Yeah, me too.
But now, after you discussing it and saying, like, don't mess up a good thing,
that's what
made it good. Like, I know what you mean. Like, it's the thing about the Footscape was it's so fucking different.
Yeah.
And, like, it looks like it could be a grown man shoe with, like, some khakis.
Yeah.
But, like, they made it look more runnery with the Flyknit, which is probably what they were going for. Because if you're putting updated running materials on it, you want it to look more like a running shoe. Because even the laces, they have those elasticy laces, it looks like.
The Flywire.
Is it? That's what it is?
I think there's Flywire in it.
Oh. But, yeah, I know what you mean. I agree.
But, like, they didn't fuck up the Jordan 1 Flyknit.
True story.
You know what I mean? So, it's just, like, I get what they're trying to do, make it look like a Flyknit shoe. But
they're modernizing it.
Yeah. You can still give it Flyknit without... changing.
I think I would have liked that better too.
Yeah.
If they made it Flyknit in the original shape. Yeah.
Like
that
would look crazy. Sure. Because the pattern in the Flyknit would have looked dope, but like the shape of the shoe and the Flyknit pattern together would have just So hopefully since we're talking about it, it will come to fruition.
It'll come into existence.
But till then, I mean, you know, good on you, Nike, but I won't be copping those anytime soon.
Yeah, no, when I looked at them earlier, it has some nice details. That heel tab, the leather heel tab in the back is kind of... It's
but, again, like you... And also, I don't like socks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if
you wear socks, but you don't like shoes to look like socks.
Yeah, I don't know.
I hear you.
That's just me, though.
Joel's pick, there's no official name, I don't think, yet. But the Virgil Abloh's first entry to Louis Vuitton's sneakers.
Air Jordan 3.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's got that old school feel to it. Like when I first saw it, I was like, pony.
Yeah.
1980 pony or 1990 pony. And then I saw a picture come up and it was like the Avia.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yes. Oh, here, 408. That's what it's called.
Something
the
like that.
408
it's on the strap.
Advanced tech system or something like
that. Yeah. Those are details on the strap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got the 408 on the side panel. It's got the monograms where, I guess, where the air bubble.
Yeah. Right? So, those like weird pattern shapes.
Yeah, man.
On the air unit.
It's different.
It's like a Revolution mixed with the Ewing High.
Is it? Yeah. Is it different?
No.
Is it really?
So that outsole is the outsole straight is a Jordan 3. Yeah.
Jordan 3.
Like, to me, what it looks like Jordan is Virgil 3. Was begging Nike to do an off-white Jordan 3, and they said no. And he's like, all right, bet.
Hey, no.
I'm gonna do a Louis Vuitton
watch,
one.
Watch me do this.
Look what I can do.
Do you guys think those will pop off?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No doubt in my mind.
It's a Virgil King fan. Yeah. He's like the biggest thing right now. So yeah, all the young bucks are going to...
Since we're talking about speaking it into existence, you guys saw the hug, right?
The infamous
Kanye Virgil hug?
Yeah.
Why is nobody talking about how Kanye's... One of child... holy shit.
Trudy!
One of Kanye's childhood friends,
El Trudy Styles,
is now the head of menswear design at Louis Vuitton.
That's crazy.
Are we going to see a resurgence of Kanye West's Louis Vuitton sneaker line? Like a retro line?
The Louis Vuitton Dawn.
And the Jasper.
Yeah, those are dope. Those are so nice.
Let's speak that into existence, please, and thank you. Because
I never
that
paid
would be
attention
sick.
To those, to be honest. Those were
clean, I love those.
Even the red, like
yeah,
the
all red. Yeah, that's where that was his first all red. And the patchwork. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That picture with Don C and Virgil and
the squad.
Jasper and Kanye. And yeah, oh, so
the
sick.
Squad. Yeah, that was an emotional hug. You felt
they,
that.
They cried. Oh,
yeah,
they
I
have
know.
Tears in their
you,
eyes.
You felt
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You felt because
both of them came from
absolutely
none.
Nothing.
Yeah. And they're homies. Like, they've been homies.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Let's speak that into existence. Let's get a retro of the Kanye West Louis Vuitton Dawn.
Could you imagine if Mr. Virgil Abloh pulled that off?
If anyone could do it, it'd be him.
Yeah.
Like, that's like perfect storm stuff right
Trust
there.
Me.
So.
Trust me. And those would sell out so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine the lineups outside of a Louis store?
I'd be there.
Jeez.
Crazy.
Speaking of lineups, honorable mention, JTHS. Moving on. July 9th. Moving on. The discussion. Let's recall a couple episodes ago, the fire round. Someone had asked us who we think is an up-and-coming brand. Who's making some moves. And we all seem to agree that Puma was the one making some moves.
The one to look out for, I think this is a
yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After Adidas and Nike, while they do their own thing. Alvin had New Balance as a vote. I remember that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Puma, my God, they've been putting in some work in these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, they've been busy.
So I remember us talking earlier in the week, and we were talking about like, what? Where did this basketball line come from?
JZ.
Yeah.
No, I did. So I did some research. The Puma basketball line did exist, but it hasn't been around for about 20 years. It started with Walt Clyde Frazier. That's where we get the Puma Clyde. Gujo, do you remember seeing B-boys rocking those? Those look like a B-boy shoe.
Puma Clyde, course, man.
It's like did a you? Suede
Clydes and suedes, fat laces. It has to go hand in hand with those shoes.
That's sick. Do you remember? Did you ever have an inkling of like, did you ever see Frazier play?
No, I've never seen Frazier play.
I guess I didn't look at his years. That's embarrassing.
He's old.
Yeah. I know. That's what I was going to say. That's the immediate thought the moment I thought of it.
Poor
sorry,
Joel.
Joel. You're not a dinosaur.
Maybe Joel's dad.
My dad. Yeah. Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. And then the next athlete after Frazier was Mr. Vince Carter.
Yeah, boy.
1998.
VC, baby.
Years ago. Do you guys remember like seeing Vince jamming Pumas on?
For 2 years or a year he was with Puma?
Not a
long stint.
No. Because then Nike took over. And one
for instance, a slam dunk competition.
Ying Yang or something.
The Tai Chi.
Tai Chi. Ying Yang, Tai Chi, Bing Bong.
I honestly think they did have a Yin Yang shoe.
I think they did have
I can't remember what it looked like though. But man, I wanted those Tai Chi so bad.
Yep.
I had like a white and teal pair, and I just always wanted the white and red pair.
Yep.
White and red pair. Man. So last August, they also signed Skylar Diggins from the WNBA. Last week or this week, they signed three massive NBA draft prospects.
I think it's four now, as of today.
Yes, four. Yeah. Sorry. So DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley III. He has the biggest rookie shoe deal since KD.
Jeez.
Zaire Smith is another one. And then yesterday was Michael Porter Jr. And then on the 18th, Jay-Z signed on as what was first thought as the president of basketball operations at Puma, but which is now just creative consultant.
Oh.
Yeah.
They demoted him.
Yeah. That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. So he's not involved with, like, picking players of who Puma signs with.
But he is a sports agent, so he might be.
Yes.
He's going to help.
Yeah, he's for definitely sure has he's a hand help. In there. Yeah.
But he's got, like, overall concepts, designs, and, like, the direction of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, a creative director. I was reading a Complex article, and it was in an interview with Adam Petrick. Maybe not an interview, but Adam Petrick is one of the bigwigs at Puma. And so this is what he had to say about, like, signing Jay-Z and the direction of where Puma basketball is headed. He says, we want to be a performance brand, but then also very culturally focused. It's clear that we're looking at basketball through the lens of culture and thinking about the fashion of basketball, the music of basketball, all the aspects of culture around basketball, as much as on-court presence that we will have. Do you guys think Puma will survive with this type of a mindset? Do you think they'll be able to compete with like Nike and Adidas?
They got a lot of catching up to do.
I don't
know if they're even trying to compete.
That's probably why they're doing, like, the cultural thing.
Yeah, they're trying to just go a different direction. Yeah.
So opposed to the technology thing, they're going to try to appeal to the fashion side of basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like their sneakers that they will possibly come out with will be more of the old school style.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at the first one.
The first entry.
It's a mid-cut Clyde, basically. Yeah.
Essentially, like a Flyknit. It's called the Puma Clyde Court Disrupt.
Yeah.
Set to release on October 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got like a knit upper. Do you guys know what that Puma logo is called? That like curvy thing?
No.
It's called a form strip. Yeah, I had to do some research. That's like embroidered on the side of the shoe lateral.
Rolls right off the tongue. Swoosh, trefoil,
form strip.
But here's what throws me off. Like the materials are weird. It's like leather combined with a bit of plastic for the heel counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know. To me, it just doesn't look like a basketball shoe that will hold up on court. No.
It doesn't look like it to me either.
Yeah.
Unless there's something going on in there that we don't know about.
Yeah. I mean, the midsole looks hella thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Compared to like an very actual flat. Puma Clyde. Yeah.
Like it looks like a Clyde mid-cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that them being so focused in the culture as opposed to technology will be a fallback?
Yes.
It most likely will.
Yeah.
They just don't have the technology background. These other brands have been doing basketball for so long steadily, and they work so closely with athletes. If you take Nike as an example, like they work hand in hand with their signature athletes to make shoes specifically for them.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like if Puma is going the other direction, off court appeal, then you're not working hand in hand with the player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On court and what they need on court, and it's going to lack. And it's been so long since they've actually worked with anybody in basketball, so they're behind.
True,
in that sense.
That R&D department has lots of work to do.
I like what they're doing. Like, if you're going to make a resurgence into any market, you need to come with a bang. Like, you need to be bam, 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 like everybody. Like, they have the entire draft class, pretty much. Anyone who matters from this year's draft class is now Puma basketball. And they also, and I think you forgot to mention, they signed Walt Frazier to a lifetime contract.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool. It doesn't really mean anything.
No.
But it's, I mean, it's more like, but yeah, I like what they're doing. Like, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to compete with Nike and Adidas. Like, you're not going to.
It's true.
Like, look at how they're, no. But if you can get to like an Under Armour or like even like
Anta
a Li-Ning or Anta or Peak.
Oh, Li-Ning, that's the other one. Like, or Big Baller.
Even Big Baller, like, but they make money.
It's true. The thing that Big Baller didn't do is just do their own shit. Like, they just made a fucking
they
Kobe.
Made a Kobe 11,
Kobe.
But if you can get to that point, I think you're more than happy.
Yeah.
If you can get to Under Armour's, or Under Armour, or like one of those, like, not lower tier, but just like not one of the more elite brands.
Mm. Now, I may be overthinking this, but do you think that, like, the designs that they're going to come out with being so culturally directed, I guess, or like that's like where they're headed with it, as opposed to on-court performance, maybe, let's assume, I guess, because that's where we think they're going to focus on. thinking of Michael Jordan and even LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, KD, they sold their shoes based on performance on the court. Mm. Agree? Disagree?
I know where you're going with this.
Right?
Yeah.
If those shoes hinder any sort of performance within the players that they've signed, if like, what, do you know what I mean? Like, what, I might be overthinking this, but like, if they're, where did you, we'll come back after. Yeah. So my thought process is their current design, if it hinders their performance on court, they're not going to sell any units. And then there goes the basketball
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
thing again. Mm-hmm. It's just gone. It's peace out.
Yeah. The way that I'm thinking about it is like, even if you think like Jordan's aside, because Jordans are classic for very many reasons, but you can think of more modern, like Nike basketball shoes overall, LeBron's, KD's, Kobe's, Kyrie's, whatever.
Yeah.
Like people wear them off court.
Yeah.
So like Nike or Adidas or whoever, they make these shoes performance first, and then the people are what make them off court shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, if it's a basketball shoe, it's basketball first. And then if the culture picks up on it and wants to make it off court something else, then that's what happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can go the other way around, because then, like you said, it leads into what you said. Yeah. If there's no performance, or like even if you look at, excuse me, like the D Rose line, like as soon as D Rose's performance started falling off, and as soon as D Rose kept getting injured in that shoe, everyone associated that shoe with injury, with bad ankles and everything. And that line slowly like fell off.
Depleted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can't say that the performance doesn't matter, because they go hand in hand, because it's that person's shoe. It has their name on it.
So
I don't think you can go culture first. I understand the concept they're such a culturally like entrenched brand with like the b-boying and like all that kind of stuff. Like,
oh, for sure. And even with brand, the current artists that they have in the brand,
like Jay-Z has a signature Puma suede or Clyde or whatever it is, like Big Sean, like all those guys, they have like, they're that like hip-hoppy, like underground, like b-boy style.
Yeah.
So I get it. I just don't know if it'll hold up. They might have to change that approach a little bit.
Yeah. What do you guys think the deciding factor will be for Puma succeeding?
If they get a good player.
Yeah, I was going to say, they need performance. If they get a good
player, just balling the fuck out in them.
Yep.
Because like, you know, with my son, with Jomar, playing in the leagues and whatnot, and in the tournaments, all these kids, it's all Nike basketball. It's all like, you know, Kyrie Irving's galore everywhere. All these kids are wearing Kyrie. So it's like, every kid wants to be Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And whatever Kyrie's wearing, these little, you know, little point guard wannabes want to be Kyrie Irving. So if they get like a star player rocking Pumas and doing some crazy shit in them, every kid is going to want a pair of Pumas as opposed to a pair of Kyries or whatnot. But that's what they got to do for them to succeed, is to get somebody good.
I agree.
In them.
You know, you'll know after this year, to be honest. At this time next year, you'll have an answer. Because imagine if, like, Jason Tatum was a Puma athlete last year.
That'd be crazy.
Like, they would have sold a bunch of Pumas. Or if Devin Booker, like, a couple years ago was a Puma athlete.
All it takes is one season.
It takes one good season. And especially if it's your rookie year, like, those would fly off the shelf.
All of them are going to be rookies.
Yeah. So there are, that's what I'm, I agree completely with Joel. Especially in, like, the kid, like, the younger kids. At one point, you couldn't keep Curry's on the shelf in smaller sizes. Because they love watching Steph Curry just, like, razzle-dazzle, shoot a three, run away, and then it goes in. Like, they just want to be that.
Yeah.
So they buy the shoes to emulate him. So I completely agree with that.
When VC was in those Pumas, I wanted those Pumas.
Even the Shock, the BB4s.
I wanted those Pumas. And those Shocks.
That's a horrible basketball shoe. Shocks?
I know. Like, horrible.
Everyone wanted a pair of Shocks.
But the commercial got you.
Yeah, boing, exactly.
Boing, 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 boing,
Yeah. Up until Vince fucking killed that dunk competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Tai Chi. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. So. Maybe some good marketing.
That too.
I feel like almost they're trying to like reverse engineer Jordan Brand.
Yeah.
You know how Jordan Brand, so like
it turned into culture after.
Yeah, because like it's technology at that time at its best.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Premium leathers so that you don't have to break in the shoe.
Yeah.
And then the air unit for cushioning, and then your outsole with the crazy patterns for traction and stuff like that.
form stripe on the side.
form strip?
Strip.
Rolls right off the top.
form strip. Yeah, so it's almost like they're just trying to like hack it in a way and try to go for the lifestyle feel of it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they wanted to, they should have came out with just the VC first.
Oh,
can you imagine?
That's what it is, man.
If it's like, for like quote unquote the culture, that's like an old school shoe, but it still looked good. As it was like an old school shoe, but like it was, what was the model?
It would sell now.
It was like a mid cut fucking.
Yeah,
it
was funky.
Yeah, but it was like leather. Mm-hmm. It would sell now.
That's the same thing. It's like reverse engineering it.
Yeah,
because it would sell now as a casual shoe.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like chunky, big white dad shoe looking basketball thing. Yeah, it would sell as a sweatpant or shorts with high sock shoe. Yeah.
I feel like that would have been a good route for them to go if it was like for the culture.
Puma, if you're listening. Bring back that VC.
Just retro it. You know how everything right now is becoming a retro? You might as well retro some of your old stuff.
That's a really good fucking idea.
You're welcome.
That's your answer to the Louis Vuitton 408.
Yep.
Who?
Yeah, retro everything.
The high cut. It looks just retro like everything. That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. That's what Virgil's doing.
That would get a lot of attention, at least from me.
any avid VC fan.
I don't know.
Or sell it in a pack. Like, that's a good way to sell units. Like
something.
Like, sell the VC with the Clyde mid or something in VC colors. Yeah. Like, that's just a way to get them on someone's foot.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to buy both. That's what they did with the 29. Remember the 20, the Pantone pack?
Yes.
Jordan 11 Pantone. Yes. That would have sold, like, by itself like a million units. Yeah. But they put it with the 29 that was kind of struggling, and then it sold out.
Yeah.
And then everyone was around 29s because they had to.
Yep.
If you guys want to hire me, Puma, as a at home marketing
from home
guru,
from home.
7 hours a week.
7 hours a week.
Full benefits package.
I'm about it.
Company car, you know? Another company cell phone.
You already know what it is.
I'm curious if they're going to have multiple signature shoes because right now it looks like they're going to give all three athletes that same shoe.
That one.
Yeah, because you can't. I don't think they should give each athlete a signature shoe. Because when that athlete flops, or if not, I'm not hoping that they do. I hope they do well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if they do flop, they're gonna look so stupid.
Yeah, you can't just go ham on signature shoes. And I don't even. I feel like they don't even have the technology for that. I'm not even bashing them, but they're new back into this that they don't have the tech for that. There's no way they have enough tech and like enough materials and whatever like research, whatever R&D to make 4, 5, 6 different signature shoes.
I'm worried these Clyde disrupts. Won't even look good on court.
They'll look good.
I haven't seen it on foot yet. I've only seen that one picture sitting on top of a shoe.
I was watching a video yesterday.
Someone's wearing it.
It just looked like a classic,
like a mid-cut,
just a classic
Clyde. But it's like bright ass orange with that translucent midsole.
They'll probably do like PE colorways or do like stitching of their initials or something like PE stuff. But there's no way they all get signature shoes.
Yeah,
no way.
It'd be smart for them not to do that.
I agree. That's a waste of money.
Yep.
Unless you know they're going to be a banger. Unless you signed one of them and you put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Then go ahead. Make that Clyde mid his PE.
Yeah, but even that'd be stupid as fuck.
A lot of brands do that. First year in the league.
Yeah.
Look at Michael Jordan and LeBron James.
True. Do you guys think Jay-Z will make a difference?
He'll help recruiting.
Maybe. Yeah, for like players.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Like people,
I don't know.
I mean, if Jay-Z is associated with anything, you kind of want to go
with him there. Alongside him.
You know what I mean? So,
but I don't know if he'll be able to push the footwear.
Units?
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, he's not like a Kanye where you see Jay-Z wearing something and you want to buy it for the most part.
Yeah.
Except for those hats with the paper airplane on them.
Yeah that's, it.
That's what the Rockefeller
Rock Nation.
Yeah. Rock Nation. Yeah.
All right. So do we think Puma is going to succeed at all?
I think it's up to the players, not up to Puma anymore.
We gotta see.
Puma did their job.
Yeah.
I like what they did by jumping right into it and causing a splash. Now it's up to the players.
Okay.
100.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to move on to a full blown discussion from that was suggested by Kicks Fam.
That's their Instagram, right?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were saying like it's like Kicks a sneaker fam. Friend. Oh, yeah. Sneaker friend, Kicks Fam.
They asked or said, for the next fire round, I'd like to know. What are the common what are the common myths or misconceptions about working at shoe retailers? You guys have that inside knowledge to answer any misinformation. Do employees backdoor, get pairs reserved, get paid well? Why start working there instead of climbing the ladder? Just food for thought. I never worked retail, so I have no clue about any of it. I did work at a movie theater, and I can attest I saw all the movies for free that I wanted to.
My cousin worked at a movie theater.
OL. And we also so saw a bunch of movies for free.
Kickspam, if you want to relate it directly, if you saw a lot of movies for free, you can guess if working at a shoe store gets you shoes.
Yeah. So we worked all in different versions of retail, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You guys can start because you both worked at Foot together.
Mm-hmm.
What are the common misconceptions?
A correct conception. I don't know if you want to call it backdoor. I'm pretty sure this is public knowledge at this point. Like, most people know this. Foot Locker has a 20% launch procedure rule for employees.
Mm-hmm.
So 20% of stock is allocated to employees who are allowed to purchase it.
That was
so
while you were there, right?
Yeah.
That's just started it's when we got there, actually. Yeah. It's still going on right now.
At least it should be. If it isn't,
it is. Well, I don't know. But that means if there's 100 pairs, 20 of them go to employees.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a real thing. Now the manager has obviously discretion to go over or below that.
Yeah.
I know in my time working at Foot Locker, if it was very loosely enforced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't like, it wasn't like a super tight rule. If there happened to be 25 or 30 pairs out of 100, it was whatever. And you can obviously guess that there's not 30 employees that work at a small store.
Yeah.
So if there's 30 pairs allocated to staff, sure, I guess that could be considered a backdoor because that's when friends get called or whatever that is.
True.
Working back when I worked there, which is now like 5-ish years ago, I guess.
Only?
Maybe more than that. I don't know. 5-6 years ago. There was no discount on releases.
Yeah,
I think that has since changed, to my knowledge. I think that 20% rule also applies to discount. So 20% of employees, or 20% of the pairs, whoever, I'm struggling saying it, but those 20 pairs out of 100 employees are allowed to get discount on, for the most part, I think.
Now.
Maybe.
Now, it wasn't a thing before. It was kind of different. Like, sometimes we were allowed, sometimes we weren't.
It was hella,
depending on the release.
Yeah.
We were also, another form of, it wasn't really backdooring, but when we first both started at Foot, pre-orders were still a thing.
Yeah.
So, I guess you can call it backdooring, but once we started pre-orders.
Sort of. It's kind of like, it's more so just the selling text, the product before it comes in.
That's how their launch procedure was, though. It's not even us, but
Yeah, but that, your homies would know when you were taking pre-orders first before anyone else.
That goes back to, I think, a topic we had backdooring a bunch of episodes ago about backdooring information.
Yeah.
So, like, if the pre-order is going to start on Tuesday and nobody knows, but you tell your homies all on Monday, like, yo, come Tuesday morning because the pre-order is going to go live for Concords on Tuesday morning kind of thing. So that, I guess, could be considered backdooring. I know me and Alvin sat courtside at a Raptor game.
No.
For a couple
pairs. That wasn't a backdoor thing. That was that was me not purchasing shoes for myself.
They were supposed to be for you, and then we gave them to some guy who didn't have a legal job.
I think that's low-key a backdoor.
Legal
job. No, he works in cash.
Because it's not an extra pair that's coming out of the customer's...
Yeah, you're right.
Like, oh, true, because it was already allotted to you.
Like, it was my pair.
Yeah.
Like, technically my pair. All
right.
But I just purchased it for a customer who wouldn't have the ability to purchase regularly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Two pairs of Bread Force for courtside Raptors tickets. And he paid us for the Bread Force.
Nice.
That's a win.
Yep. So now for me, I worked at an outlet store. So please stop DMing. it's not so much like backdooring or... I guess it's a form of it because it's kind of like we have the information ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely as an employee, it was bomb to get first dibs because outlet drops are super random.
Yeah.
It's evident. It's kind of like people complain about it and shit, but it's like it's so obvious that that type of shit will happen.
Yeah.
At a store, it's a perk of working there.
Yeah, you're just salty because you can't do it.
Yeah, it's a perk of working there. If you're upset, get a job there. For real though, give them your resume, work part time, make some homies.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think I've helped you guys get a bunch of pairs a bunch of times.
Sometimes.
Expose.
Maybe once or 10 times.
The favorite memory I have is back when I was working at SVP. And we got a message in our group chat from Alan saying, yo, we got the Lunar 90s at my store. Do you guys want them? And I was like, Lunar? Like, which one? He's like, the moon Air one.
Max, moon landings. Yeah.
And I was like, moon land? Those came out like 2 years ago. Are you sure?
And they're going for like $700 US dollars. Yeah, I was like,
are
dollars.
You sure you guys got those? Because there's like one store in Canada that got those. He's Nike like, yeah, Lab. Man, we got white a bunch. Box. He's like, yeah, we got a ton of them. And I was like, can you send me a picture? I remember I was like, I was still so unsure, even though I know you know what you're talking about. I was so hesitant to be like, seriously? And then you're like, yeah, man. And you sent the picture and I was like, well, shit. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
And then
size 11, size 9, size 10 and a half. Shout out to my
manager for being like,
for letting,
go for it.
Yeah. Letting you buy four pairs. Thanks,
man. Family.
And then later that week, I went to Von Mills and bought six more.
Oh, yeah. The outlets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Fuck.
But I sold them all for retail.
Nice. Good man. Man,
bro. Well, not retail, good whatever man. I paid. Like, I didn't make
yeah,
money.
Yeah, oh,
nice.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were like, what, 150?
Yeah.
And I think.
Flipping laces, if you want to swing that back my way.
Wait, you got rid of yours.
I know. I've said it already in an earlier episode. That's one of my biggest regrets. But, I mean, the money was right. And it was needed.
What else was in that list of Kicks fans' so, misconceptions?
Get paid well.
No, nope.
Paid well. Hell to the effing no.
Unless you're like, no.
Well, no, okay, hold on. Let me retract that.
Store
statement.
Manager?
No. Okay, no. Well,
I know store manager at Nike is pretty decent. Like assistant head coach and head coach at Nike is pretty decent.
So as a part-timer at Foot Locker, you could, I mean, they don't do it now, but before when commission was still a thing, you could definitely get paid more during the peak
seasons, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So back to school, you can make fucking loot. Christmas, you can make loot. But when you're not making sales and it's just part-time.
Expect minimum wage.
Minimum wage, yep. Then it's just a regular thing. But the perk was a discount.
Yeah, that's the thing. You give and take a lot. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people who work in sneakers and like sneakers get trapped in sneakers, working in sneaker retail.
Oh, for sure.
Discount. Especially, like, I use Foot Locker as an example all the time because there's people who work at Foot Locker for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And if you're not progressing or if you're just a part-timer and you're just working there for 5 years on minimum wage, like, you're clearly there just because it's a cool job.
And you're comfortable.
Yeah. And you're comfortable and you're getting kicks and it's like, I work at Foot Locker. Like, it's a cool thing. Like, I know that this is also common knowledge. When I got fired from Foot Locker, one of the best things...
That is common knowledge. Yeah. That was like episodes ago.
Well, now it's... very public. We'll go into that story in another episode.
Let go, let go. He was let go.
Yeah.
Nicely.
I was fired from Foot Locker.
Flames.
One of the best things that ever happened to me for sure because I don't know, I'd probably still be there, man, to be honest. Yeah. Like, it's just like they're the allure of working at Foot Locker, getting 30% off on releases, like getting first access to all the cool shit. Like, you walk down the street and like, oh, that's the guy who works at Foot Locker. Like, people just know that you work at Foot Locker. Or any shoe store, really.
Yep, I will say the same thing for the outlet stores, especially working on a brand-specific one.
Mm-hmm.
My God, gung-ho, swoosh, all day. HH gang high. because especially when you build such a family there and you're used to like the team that you work with, the relationships kind of keep you in. Mm-hmm. And then just, the allure of buying new pairs of shoes
all the
on
time.
The low, like... Man,
you can get trapped easily. So unless you're progressing, if you're working your way up in the company and you're making yourself better and making a career out of it, 100%, like that's worth it.
Yeah, do
it. But if you're stuck or like you're not moving forward or you're just there because like it's a cool job, like it's not the best paying job and you should look to better yourself after a certain amount of time.
I'm just going
to
throw something to Joel real quick. Were you ever backdoor? Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Let's not play around.
Yeah.
Let's not play around. All the information. What about not with us?
I had like one of those, come down, like the drop is Saturday, but come down Thursday with cash,
You've told us that story. Yeah, in like, your origins.
Like one of those things, yeah.
I think it was like one of the first five episodes. If you guys want to know more about us, listen to the first five episodes of Canada Got Souls True to Size. Yeah. So we all know why Lauren stopped climbing the ladder. He was forced to. Alvin
was pushed off. Yeah, the ladder.
He was pulled off and thrown to another ladder. they just sort of kicked the ladder out under his feet. Alvin, why did you stop climbing the ladder?
It's politics. Don't get me wrong. Like Foot Locker, when I was working there, was my career.
Yeah.
And that was my goal, to make it like a permanent.
And you had fun there.
Foot Locker was, I loved working there. Yeah. It was just like from me down. So from me, the store manager, with my associates, it was bomb. Like store level, it was like the greatest thing, because we built like a family. We were all dope. Like everyone you work with is like-minded, and
for real,
it's mad chill. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was mad fun. But like as soon as it got to above me, and like when I wanted to move up and move and go to bigger and better places within the company,
they were not allowing it.
Like any company, man, it's like fucking politics.
They cut Alvin's ladder short.
Yeah.
Politics. You know what I mean?
It's like in a lot of companies. But when you work in retail specifically, you feel it like firsthand because there's not that many positions between you and the top.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And when, you know what? I'll just keep it at politics. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just politics. It's all good.
Okay.
But again, good. It was a fun company to work for. It's just it. When you tell me that, you know, I can't go where I want to go, I'm not going to stay with you, because I'm someone who likes to grow within my company.
Don't sell yourself short.
Exactly. So I had to do me, and the discount wasn't even worth staying for.
Trust.
Yeah, I get to that point.
Or the stress.
Yeah. So, you know, that was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stop climbing.
For me, I did want to keep climbing. I mean, you guys have seen the family that I have at Nike. They were at my fucking wedding. Mm-hmm. Army. I love all of them. I loved working with all of them. But I can't even front. I got complacent. As much as I wanted to climb the ladder and like keep moving up, I towards the end of my career at Nike, I kind of got entitled almost, just being like, yo, I've been here for so long. I do kick ass. Give me this position, like promote me. I stopped giving a shit, and I needed to like get out.
Yeah.
So in a way it was a personal decision. Mentally too, I didn't want to sell myself short. I knew that I didn't want to be stuck at retail for forever, because I knew that I am not destined to be a fucking retail lifer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
I just can't handle it. There's just some people who are cut out for it. Yeah. And it's been like...
Yeah, but even those people hate their fucking lives. So let's not front.
No, I don't, dog. Chill, fam.
Oh, yeah, he's in retail still.
Yes. sneaker stores. I don't know.
Sneaker retail. Sneaker retail is quite limited, maybe
on my level. Maybe on my level. But that was something I needed to move on from. And thankfully, an opportunity came up. It sort of just fell on my lap because of one of my good friends. Thank God I stepped up to the plate and fucked it, knocked it out. So, yeah, I'm now where I am today, not at the outlet store.
I'll just say this, man. Don't settle for shit.
Yeah.
Do you?
There's better out
opportunities.
There.
Unless, after all of that stuff that we just opened up with, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Everything that we pulled from our jobs was something that we will value for the rest of our lives.
That was my first job.
Yeah. And if you have a passion to serve consumers, go for it.
Yeah. Like I was saying, I just can't, like, I can't do it much longer. Yeah. Like, I'm, like, spent.
You're currently
maybe
there.
I could. Yeah, I'm currently in retail.
It's a different vibe.
It is a different vibe. And, like, maybe I just need a break from it for a bit, and I can go back eventually. I don't know.
I mean, but this,
like,
man's going back to Disney World, so.
Yeah. You can never have too long of a break or too short of a break from Disney World.
Super facts. Super facts. That's another full-time job for you.
But, yeah. Maybe I just need a break, because I do love retail. I love interacting with people. Like, me and Alvin are very similar in that. Like, that's why we got along really well at Foot. Like, mm-hmm. we just love customer service. But it just weighs on you. It's just, I honestly think it's the hours of a mall, to be honest. Like, working in a mall when it's open from, like, 9 to 9 or whatever it is. Like, it's just not consistent.
It's on someone else's schedule.
It's on someone else's schedule. You're not like a 9-to-5-er. Not saying I want to be a 9-to-5-er, but like, it's just tough.
Me personally, I love those hours. I can choose. I can make my own fucking schedule.
True.
True.
I can have a weekday off where no one else is off, and I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah, I love those days. I can't lie.
And all I was trying to say was, like, don't feel like I've spoken to a lot of other
co-workers,
managers who may or may not have been at Foot Locker.
Who remain anonymous.
But their main thing was, after I moved on, it's like, how did you do it?
You just do it.
And you just got to do it. You know what I mean? Like, there's better things out there. Not saying that Foot Locker is horrible, but
Climb another ladder.
If you are currently, you know, unsatisfied with what you're doing, you don't feel that you're fucking fulfilling your life, like you go to work not wanting to go to work, like, go get out.
Trust.
That's for anything too.
Yeah, it's scary to start something new, but you're not gonna know if you're good at anything else if you don't try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you started that thing you're comfortable with, you were new to that.
Yeah.
So
damn, this turned into some sort of life advice podcast.
True to life.
Episode.
True.
Get it.
Well, this is how we remain true to size.
Word.
Metaphorically. Yeah, don't get stuck. Do you? But the best part is, like, our love that came from our jobs transcends into what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I loved sneakers going into Foot Locker, yeah, so exactly. It just made it worse.
Not worse, but I made it
stronger.
It made it stronger.
Yeah.
But like, just because I left Foot Locker doesn't mean I left my passion for sneakers. I'm still definitely into that, like, right now.
High key trying to make this a 24/7er.
So it's not, man, just do you, bro. Discounts aren't everything in life, so.
Yeah, Foot Locker is the reason I'm into this right now. So.
Word.
Very true. Yeah, and I picked up hella passion from working at Nike. My God. Yeah, I guess we can wrap it up from there. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
That was a good question, Kicks Fam.
Word, Kicks Fam.
For real. Thank you.
KIXFAM.
Fam.
And thank you for listening and sending that in.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, like everyone else is not doing.
We get a decent amount of questions now.
Once in a while.
We only need one a week, really, so yeah, it's okay.
This is true. From the same people.
That's fine.
Kicks Fam, if you have another good one like that, yo, chuck it our way. Thank you.
Chuck it.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Bram for the theme song. Thank you to the Sneaker Podcast and Matt and Zach for your tutelage. If you are listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a review and shoot us some stars.
5.
If you're tuning in on the YouTubes, drop us a like, comment, and subscribe if you have not.
5.
We do have a Facebook group, and it's called CGS Talk. That's facebook.com/group/CGS.talk.
/5.
We talk it up and sell some things. Mm-hmm. Sean Go posts his reviews. I got to stop plugging him every episode. hit up Canada Got Soul for our latest pieces. CanadaGotSoul.ca for our latest pieces. Lawrence, what have you put up lately? The TDE recap.
Yeah, TDE recap.
Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack.
Oh, can we shout out Ryan real quick?
Ryan
Lagu. I don't know how to say his last name.
From the Off-White review.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Shout out to Ryan. I don't know your last name. I'm sorry. It's definitely a Pinoy last name, though.
Yep.
For the Off-White review, the comparison between the UNC and the Chicago, really cool. I didn't know the differences, so it was really cool to know that they actually made updates to the shoe.
Laguatan.
What's his IG?
Ryan Laguatan.
Ryan Laguatan. His IG is Ryan Laguatan.
Spell that.
Ryan.
R.
R like Ryan.
R Yan.
God.
Lag.
Lag.
UATAN.
Laguatan.
Laguatan.
Yeah. Laguatan.
Okay, so sorry. It's RYANLAG. UA
word
10
word.
Okay, shout out to him.
Yeah,
he threw up the comparison for us between the UNC and the Chicago Off-White ones.
Yeah.
Very solid piece. But yeah, I have Cactus Jack 4s. I have TDE recap. Some stuff up there.
We do plan to have a bit more coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you'd like to join us on True to Size, if you have any questions or suggestions for the fire round, like Kicks Fam. And
Mbraswa.
Yeah. Was that it?
Maybe. Probably not.
And possibly. I am Dan Man.
Yeah, and Line in a Pickaxe. Maybe sending us the best fire round questions. Shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. You can find me at Spooner_Spooner, no E. Lawrence Hopkins, where can they find you?
At LDOGGY Styles.
Alvin Martinez, where can they find you?
MISTERQ and then Mart.
And Joel Hernandez, where can they find you?
JO_D3ONEY
Thank you for listening. Let's talk about sneakers. Please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We are CGS and we are out. Goodbye.
Peace. Five. Five.
Five.
Toodle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So how come this doesn't happen?
Sorry.
Yeah. Yo. This the 16th episode of True to Size. What? True to Size. What? True to Size. What? Talk about them sneakers and True to Size. Hey.
Do you want to do that?